And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Lutheran pastor provides care after plane crash with sole 7-year-old survivor. You can't prepare for something like this, the Reverend Matthew Wheatfeld, associate pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church, Nashville, Illinois, says matter-of-factly. He's referring to the January the 2nd Kentucky plane crash that killed 4 but left young sailor Gutzler, just 7 years old, the sole survivor. National media covered the story of the Friday evening twin-engine aircraft crash and the family members who were killed. The Gutzler family, Marty, Kimberly and Piper, age 9, father, mother and daughter, as well as Piper and sailor's cousin, 14-year-old Sierra Wilder. Wheatfeld urges all to pray after the January the 2nd plane crash that took the lives of 4 Nashville family members. The Gutzlers were returning home from a holiday trip to Key West in Florida when their Piper Seneca crashed near rural Kutawa in Kentucky. Sailor made her way through the woods in the near freezing temperatures to find help despite a broken wrist, bloody nose and scratches. She was only wearing shorts and a short sleeve shirt and no shoes. Authorities are investigating the cause of the accident. The crash was a complete shock, Wheatfeld explains. Marty was a member who was kind and gracious to our congregation and to our school. He gave very freely of himself, especially when it came to our school. The Gutzlers were known and well-loved in their community, small town Nashville, Illinois, where Wheatfeld served as Marty's pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church. Marty Gutzler's father is also a member at Trinity. I've prayed with him and I've just listened, Wheatfeld says. I'll just continue to meet with him and pray with him and discover how pastorally to take care of young Sailor, who is currently in the care of family members. But what does he say to the older Gutzler, and what will he tell little Sailor? The Lord is in control and he provides in your time of need, Wheatfeld says. Trinity Lutheran's congregation is struggling as well. On Sunday morning, January the 4th, during Wheatfeld's pre-service announcements, the congregation prayed for our community and our church in the midst of this tragedy. It also gave us time in the midst of a horrible situation to talk about the fact that this is exactly what the church is here for, and that this is exactly what your pastor is here for, to comfort you, listen to you, and give you his shoulder to cry on, to preach the gospel to you when you're all feeling the weight of the law through death, he says. Wheatfeld says his personal prayers for his flock have changed and morphed through this tragedy as he observes the toll Sailor's loss has taken on the family, their friends, and people who simply knew the Gutzlers. My prayers have moved from the norm, the regular issues a congregation faces, to this specific situation, he says. This has really changed the focus of my prayers, being able to lift up individuals in the midst of their sorrow. Plus, in a situation like this, people are coming to you out of the woodwork. People who have had a connection or who feel very impacted by this tragedy, and it's a joy to be able to be very specific in my prayers for the needs of my flock and these people. France would post almost 5,000 extra police officers to protect Jewish sites after the killing of 17 people by Islamist militants in Paris last week, officials said. Speaking a day after the biggest French public demonstration ever recorded in honour of the victims, Defence Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian said the country remained at risk of further attacks. Soldiers would guard transport hubs, tourism sites and key buildings and mount general street patrols. The threats remain and we have to protect ourselves from them. It is an internal operation that will mobilise almost as many men as we have in our overseas operations, Le Drian told reporters after a cabinet meeting. The victims, including journalists and police, died in 3 days of violence that began on Wednesday with an attack on the satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo, known for mocking Islam and other religions. Many at Sunday's march wore badges and carried placards declaring, "Je suis Charlie," I am Charlie. The Charlie Hebdo gunman, 2 French-born brothers of Algerian origin, singled out the weekly for its publication of cartoons depicting and ridiculing Prophet Muhammad. Charlie Hebdo published a front page showing a caricature of the Prophet Muhammad in its first edition since Islamist government attacked the satirical newspaper. With demand surging for the edition out on Wednesday, the weekly planned to print up to 3 million copies, dwarfing its usual run of 60,000, after news agents reported that large numbers of customers around the country were placing orders. A total of 17 people were killed in 3 days of violence that began when 2 Islamist militants burst into Charlie Hebdo's weekly editorial meeting, opening fire in revenge for the paper's publication of satirical images of Muhammad in the past. The front page of the January the 14th edition shows Muhammad, a tear on his cheek, holding a sign saying, "Je suis Charlie," I am Charlie, below the headline, "Tu es pardon," All is the Given. The new edition of Charlie Hebdo, known for its satirical attacks on Islam, will include other cartoons featuring the Prophet Muhammad and also making fun of politicians and other religions. "We will not give in. The spirit of I am Charlie means a right to blaspheme," said the lawyer. The 3 days of bloodshed ended on Friday with a siege at a Jewish deli in Paris where 4 hostages and another gunman were killed. That gunman declared allegiance to Islamic State and said he was acting in response to French military deployments against militant Islamist groups overseas. Interior Minister Bernard Cazeneuve said France deployed 10,000 troops to protect sensitive sites, including Jewish schools and neighbourhoods, in the wake of the attacks that killed 17 people last week, in addition to some 4,100 gendarmes already deployed. Synagogues, Jewish schools, but also mosques will be protected because in the past few days there have been a number of attacks against mosques, Prime Minister Manuel Valls told BFM TV. France has the European Union's largest Muslim and Jewish communities. The first two attackers, brothers Sharif and Saeed Kouchi, who travelled to Yemen in 2011 for training, were killed on Friday after a siege northeast of the capital. Police said all 3 men were part of the same Paris-based Islamist cell. The French Justice Department said Sharif Kouachi had made the journey to Yemen, even though he'd been banned from leaving France at the time. Kouachi was detained from May to October 2010 on suspicion of being part of a group that tried to help Smaim Ali Belakam, author of a 1995 attack on the Paris transport system that killed 8 people and wounded 120, to break out of prison. On his relief, Kouachi was placed under judicial control, which forbade him from leaving France, Justice Ministry spokesman Pierre Rant said. The case against Kouachi was eventually dropped. About 1.5 million people marched in Paris on Sunday, and 2.5 million more in the provinces. The Paris march was led by President François Hollande and dozens of foreign leaders. Some commentators said the last time crowds of this size were seen in the capital was at the liberation of Paris from Nazi Germany in 1944. The coordinated attacks amounted to the deadliest assault by militant Islamists on a European city since 4 suicide bombers killed 52 in attacks on London's transport system in 2005. Val said police were searching for likely accomplices of the French cell. The Turkish government confirmed that the female companion of the supermarket attacker had entered Syria on January 8 from Turkey, having arrived in Istanbul several days before the killings. Bulgaria also plans to extradite a Frenchman suspected of knowing or having been in touch with one of the Kouachi brothers, prosecutors said. Police arrested the man, Fritz Jolle Yokan, 29, on January 1st at a border checkpoint when he tried to cross into Turkey. After an emergency cabinet meeting on Monday to outline Britain's response to the attacks, Prime Minister David Cameron pledged to give security and intelligence services new powers to monitor internet communications. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi and Cameron were among 44 foreign leaders marching with Hollande on Sunday. US President Barack Obama did not attend, and a White House spokesman acknowledged on Monday that Washington should have sent someone with a higher profile. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas were present and walked just a few steps from one another. Netanyahu visited the Jewish supermarket scene of the hostage taking on Monday, with about 300 people singing the French and Israeli national anthem. His invitation to French Jews to migrate to Israel if they wanted to irritated some. Valls scrambled to reassure the community it was safe and an integral part of France. "It was essential he came to show that he was with us, French Jews of France," said Morissette Aboucher. "But we're in France. We want to stay in France. It is our country." The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s travelling Bible hasn't gone on regular display since President Barack Obama used it while taking his second oath of office 2 years ago. The public hasn't seen the slain civil rights icon's 1964 Nobel Peace Prize medal in recent years either. Both relics reside in a safe deposit box, the keys held since March by an Atlanta judge presiding over the latest, and in many eyes the ugliest, fight between King's heirs. The estate of Martin Luther King Jr. Inc., which is controlled by Martin Luther King III and his younger brother Dexter Scott King, asked a judge a year ago to order their sister Bernice to hand over their father's Nobel Medal and traveling Bible. The brothers want to sell them to a private buyer. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney could decide the case at hearing next week or let it go to trial. He said when he ordered Bernice to hand over the Bible and medal to the court's custody that it appeared likely the estate will win the case. This is at least the fifth lawsuit between the siblings in the past decade, but this one crosses the line. Bernice argued in February from the pulpit of historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, where her father and grandfather preached. Her father cherished these two items, she said, which speak to the very core of who he was. The Reverend Timothy McDonald, who serves as assistant pastor at Ebenezer from 1978 to 1984 and sides with Bernice, but describes himself as a friend of the whole family, told the Associated Press, "You don't sell Bibles and you don't get one, but one Nobel Peace Prize. There are some items that you just don't put a price on." The estate's lawyers have not responded to requests for comment from the King brothers. At a hearing last year, a lawyer who represented the estate at the time said they want to sell the two items because the estate needs the money. Paying lawyers to enforce the rights to King's words and image is expensive, attorney William Hill reminded the judge, drawing chuckles. The estate is a private entity, so its finances aren't public, and court records don't elaborate on the estate's needs for cash. Whether to sell the Bible and the medal is not up to the judge or even part of the lawsuit, which is purely an ownership dispute. Lawyers for Bernice have argued, among other things, that King gave the Nobel Medal to his wife as a gift, meaning that it's part of Coretta Scott King's estate. Bernice is the administrator of her mother's estate. King's heirs have previously parted with parts of his legacy. They sold a collection of more than 10,000 of his personal papers and books in 2006 for $32 million, a collection now housed at Morehouse College, King's alma mater. Two separate appraisers, Leila Dunbar and Clive Howe, told AFP they would expect the medal to sell for about $5 million to $10 million, and possibly more, based on what other Nobel medals have gone for and King's place in history. Dunbar said she would expect the Bible to sell for at least $200,000 and possibly more than $400,000. Howe said it could probably go for about $1 million. If they are sold through a private sale, which can bring substantially higher sums from buyers who want to secure items before they get to auction, the medal alone could fetch between $15 to $20 million, Howe said. Both items have enormous societal value and should be on public display, said Barbara Andrews, Director of Education and Interpretation at the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee. The Bible is important because of who King was, and the Nobel Peace Prize because of what it signified, that the fight for civil rights was being recognized on a world stage, she said. While museums and books can talk about the medal, being able to see it is a great thing. A prominent Saudi Arabian cleric has whipped up controversy by issuing a religious ruling forbidding the building of snowmen, describing them as anti-Islamic. Asked on a religious website if it was permissible for fathers to build snowmen for their children after a snowstorm in the country's north, Sheikh Mohammed Salah al-Manid replied, "It is not permitted to make a statue out of snow, even by way of play and fun." My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.